On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette stops by to talk about our volleyball state champs, the latest in football playoffs, and the start of girls swimming. I'll close with notes on the Comets, the Colts, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette is here to get started with us as well. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's been a big week for Carroll on multiple fronts. Let's start with volleyball for a change because the Chargers are state champs.
They are. So last year, Carroll won its first ever volleyball state title. They haven't lost since. And so they ended last year on an incredible run to the state finals and their state finals victory. This year, the Carroll Chargers have finished a perfect season, 37-0. They top it off with a 3-0 win over Plainfield. It was 25-17, 25-17, 25-15. Plainfield's pretty good, pretty respectable team. ITEST says this would be a close match against almost anybody else, but Carroll has really been the dominant team in girls volleyball in the state this year. Just a complete domination by, again, a team that hasn't lost since September of 2024. And that was their 50th straight win. Bailey Sinish, the senior, is the Mental Attitude Award winner, very fittingly. She and Sarah Stiegel each had 17 kills in the championship match. As a team, Carroll had 52 kills. As a team, they had a hitting percentage of 358. In a championship match like that, that is pretty incredible. So it was a really, really big day for Carroll. This has been a really special senior class that has taken Carroll from consistent sectional winner to one of the very best in the state. As Coach Pandy Sinish was saying, she is Bailey's mom and the coach, that as exciting as this senior class has been and as long as she has been with them, there's also quite a lot still left in the tank. There's a lot of underclassmen who are going to be back. Sarah Stiegel, who we just mentioned, is committed to Notre Dame. She still has another year with the Chargers. So there's still plenty to look forward to if you're a Carroll volleyball fan. Also want to note that Bishop Dwenger made the Class 3A state finals and were beaten by Ron Colley. So it was Ron Colley's second straight state title, fifth overall. So still an exciting year for Bishop Dwenger under their first year head coach.
The party doesn't end there for Carroll fans and students. They're also still alive in this year's football tournament. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so we were all at the football game on Friday wondering, hey, why aren't more people here? But the volleyball team was already down in Indianapolis. The marching band was already down in Indianapolis for their state finals. Oh, and so was the competition cheer team. So a very, very busy weekend for Carroll. Carroll took care of business against Northrop. These teams had played in the regular season. We talked about that, and it turned out to be a pivotal game in the SAC standings. That game was quite a roller coaster. Carroll had a lead. Northrop closed it almost all the way before the Chargers finally ran away with it in the end. This time, it was a 42-23 victory, and really it seemed like Carroll had this one in control pretty much the entire time. Really noteworthy for a lot of the year. Those of us in the media on the sidelines were saying, well, the passing game is so great, but they're not really running the ball particularly well. That's going to become an issue at some point. They figured it out. So they obviously have a passing game that can shock and amaze, but far and away their best rushing game of the year. I believe they had 374 rushing yards, which is more than double anything they have done this season. And their previous best was also against Northrop in that wild regular season game. So it really seems like maybe they have figured something out when they knew they just couldn't rely on the passing game because, as Coach Doug Dinan said, just Northrop's secondary is so good and you didn't want to make life a little bit too easy for them.
So what's next for them and the football playoffs as a whole?
That means that Carroll will be going on the road. So that's Carroll 8-3 will be at Penn. 11-0, the Penn is in Mishawaka. So far undefeated, but Penn does play a schedule that has some really tough teams on it, like Mishawaka, a 4A standout. But that is a conference that has some weaker teams as well. So that could be a really, really interesting matchup of teams there in Mishawaka. We have South Adams 9-3 at North Miami, who is 9-3. We've seen all year that South Adams really can score. Now we get to see them against 1A competition. They've played a lot of games against really impressive 2A teams like Adams Central, like Bluffton. So kind of fun to see them in the 1A playoffs. Another interesting one, undefeated Eastbrook at undefeated Adams Central. Adams Central is, of course, the defending 2A state champion. The Flying Jets get a home game there. Angola 7-5 is going to be at Knox, which is 12-0. And notably, Knox has a running back who is going to be aiming for the all-time high school rushing record. So that is something to keep an eye on. Bishop Lore 7-5 is at Twin Lakes 10-2. That's also in 3A. In 4A, we've got Bishop Dwenger 10-2 at Lebanon 10-2. Dwenger has just sort of sliced through a bunch of NE8 opponents on their way to win that sectional. I believe they've given up one touchdown in their last three games of sectional play. So that defense is looking as good as ever. And that's everybody we've got left.
We also saw the reveal of this year's all NE8 squad earlier this week. Who were some of the standouts?
So probably not a surprise, as East Noble went undefeated through the NE8 this year. They were kind of the leaders as far as the all NE8 football team this year. They had 9 first team honorees, starting off with Riley Biddle at quarterback. Again, he is the one who led the Knights to the Class 4A state finals last year. Pretty notable, East Noble also had freshman Austin Phillips, who's kind of a two-way star for East Noble. He was a top pick at inside linebacker, although, again, he also did a lot of damage on offense. And junior Alex Phillips from East Noble was selected at the linebacker slash strong safety position. Probably goes without saying, but at running back, Leo's Nathan Foster, the one who was constantly racking up just eye-popping numbers for the Lions this year. He was a first-team running back, as was DJ Simpson of New Haven.
And girls swimming is slowly getting started. What do we need to know as that ramps up?
Well, you might remember last February, we talked about Carroll finishing second at the state finals, at the girls swimming state finals, which is pretty big here in Indiana because Carmel has the longest state title winning streak of any team in any sport in the country. And so finishing second is a really, really big deal. The Chargers had a great day at that state finals, and because so many members of that team, including Jordan Glassley, who won the 200-yard individual medley, and Kate Fetters, who was a runner-up in two separate races, those are two members of, at the time, the sophomore class. And there were quite a number of other sophomores who were making the championship finals in their events, were a major part of relays. So the Chargers bring back quite a few members of that championship lineup and add at least one freshman, maybe up to three, who might be going to the state finals this year or in years to come. So you could be seeing a lot more of the Carroll Chargers in these years to come, which is pretty exciting.
Victoria Jacobson covering the whole spectrum of high school sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you as always for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're a little over a week away from the Comets' home opener. Hard to believe it's finally here. They're already practicing at the Coliseum again as we speak. They've continued to stay hot on the road, picking up 2 wins against the Florida Everblades to go 7-2-0 on the season so far. Really good for a team that hasn't played a minute on home ice just yet. One more road trip is on the docket. It starts in Kalamazoo Friday night at 7, and they're off to Toledo for a 7:15 face-off Saturday. The Comets' home opener, finally, is next Friday against the Bloomington Bison. I'm excited to see the new ice. The Colts recovered from a tough loss to the Steelers last week, but it wasn't easy. They beat the Falcons in Berlin Sunday in overtime, led by an all-time performance from Jonathan Taylor. At 8-2, they're tied for the best record in the NFL. It's finally their bye week, so they'll get some rest after the long road trip back from Europe. Plenty of time to prepare for their next big test. They've got a road game against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs coming up on November 23rd. The Hoosiers remain undefeated following a thriller of their own last weekend against Penn State. They've got two games left on the schedule, ending the regular season against the 2-8 Purdue Boilermakers on Black Friday. This weekend, they're set to host the Wisconsin Badgers. That kicks off at noon on the Big Ten Network. It's supposed to be 66 degrees in Bloomington. Can you believe that? Notre Dame dominated Navy last week, and they have three games left on the year. Tough one coming up this weekend. They're facing number 23 Pittsburgh on the road at Acrisure Stadium Saturday. That one also kicks off at noon and will be on ABC. Syracuse at home and Stanford on the road make up the rest of their schedule. Now the Pacers. Okay, let's start with the good. Once again, their City Connect jerseys are fire. They're a direct homage to their 80s home jerseys, and man, they're sharp. It's going to be great looking at those bad boys all year. It might just be the best looking thing about them this season, because otherwise, they're 1-10 on the year. Yikes. We knew it'd be rough. They're dealing with injuries, and Tyrese Halliburton won't play at all this season. But man, it really makes you wish they could have sealed the deal in the NBA Finals last season. Oh well. Following a rough 152-128 loss to the Utah Jazz Tuesday, they've got one more out west against the Phoenix Suns tonight before returning home to host the Raptors on Saturday. They're back on the road Monday, but don't have to go too far. They'll take on the Detroit Pistons at Little Caesars up north. That's all for Field Notes this week. Let's give it up for Brianna Barrow, who did an amazing job filling in last week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. And we'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.